Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. You may not have noticed, but I am not Pastor Bob. I know. I grew hair over Thanksgiving. I had too much turkey. Pastor Bob is doing something they don't do very often, and he is taking a Sunday off. Ironically, he's not sick. He is not having a hard time. He is probably enjoying watching the service, maybe live. I don't know. Everybody turn around and wave at the camera. Say, good morning, Pastor Bob. Some of you are like, where's the camera? That's okay. He'll never know. I'm taking his job. No, I just for this morning. I'm taking his job this morning. And, you know, last week, if you were here, he taught on about being chosen by God, about how, you know, some things we go out and we try out for and we're not chosen for, but how God chooses all of us. When we become a Christ follower, we are chosen by God. And so I want to talk this morning about how we are unqualified to be chosen. You ever felt unqualified to follow God? So I pulled up a few things that I thought maybe you've ever been unqualified for a job. Anybody ever been unqualified for a certain job? So I pulled up some things that maybe, hopefully, was not your fault. This person definitely unqualified for that job. Once again, Motel 6, I'm sure. Or my husband, I don't know. A shovel. I don't know, the yard is missing a shovel. Ouch. Freddie, where's Freddie at? He cuts our lawn. If Coach leaves any cones out there. Yes. Nice cabinet placement there. Hopefully the hydrant is not needed. And an arrow into a sign. And of course, it took you guys a minute. Toothpaste is in the toothbrushes and toothbrushes in the toothpaste. You gotta love it. I would imagine those things are things that people maybe were unqualified to do, and yet they did it, ironically. And so I want to talk this morning about how we can feel unqualified for things that God wants us to do. You ever noticed, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think that somebody else can pray a little bit better. You know, they got the King James Version down, the thous and the thus and withs and whom and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how to do that. I can't even do it on paper, let alone in my words. And then maybe they're the ones that they can lay hands on somebody else and God listens and they get healed, or they can talk in a different way where people actually listen and they can hear the word of God and things change. Or maybe they can do worship in a way that the presence of God shows up. Whatever it is, it's always they can do it so much better than I can. And I don't know about you, but I always, sometimes I get in a position or I get in an area of something and I go, I can't do this. What are they doing? What do they think I'm doing this for? And then I become the person who everybody else thinks is qualified, when in reality, I know I'm not qualified to be up here with a microphone, but yet I'm qualified because of who Christ is. And so it's always the they are more qualified than I am, or I can't do that. Let them do that because they don't know who I am. If they knew my testimony, if they knew my background, they would understand that they are the ones that should be up here. But Jesus said this in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, the cool thing is that as Christ followers, as Christians, that the Great Commission was given to all of us, not just a few select disciples. He was actually talking to all of us when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and do the things that I've taught you, do the things that I've shown you, do the things that you've seen me do, say what I've told you to say." He was actually telling all of us in here, this is your commission. Now, how you go about it is your mission, but your commission is to go and do this. Go and do likewise what I have been doing. Go and make disciples. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I wouldn't want somebody else following me to do. Maybe. But we always think that the pastor is more qualified, the guest speaker is more qualified, somebody else is the one that's more qualified. You can help them do what God's called them to do, but you can never be the one that God has called you to do something and follow the Great Commission. David Livingstone, one of my favorite quotes, he says this, "Forbid that we should ever consider a commission from the King of Kings a sacrifice, so long as men esteem the role of an earthly government as an honor." Amen. Let me read it again. "Forbid that we should ever consider a commission from the King of Kings a sacrifice, so long as men esteem the role of an earthly government as an honor." We look and we go, oh man, president, the embassy, ambassador. We have all these titles and these names and we think they're honorary, and they are in an earthly sense, but yet on the flip side, we don't take into consideration that the king of the world, the creator of the universe, has given you a specific job to do. And we look at that so much less than any other job. And you know, if you turn on the news, you'll find that there's a lot of division. Men against women, Republican against Democrat, color against color, Muslim against Christian. I mean, you can find anything that has a division in it. It's hard to get online or listen to the news and find somebody that actually agrees with somebody else. It's really difficult. You can turn the news on and even two newscasters can be arguing in the same room about the same topic and be completely different on their sides. But the one thing that unites Christians is the fact that we have all been called and given the same commission. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you're doing today. Your commission doesn't change. What God has told you to do and told me to do is all the same. So whether you agree, Democrat, Republican, color, whatever it is, when you're a Christ follower, that's one thing we always agree on. You have been called to go into all the world and preach the gospel and do what God has told you to do, to follow after his word. And you know, like I said, there's a lot of things I can feel unqualified for. And I have, some of you know, Steve and I have two little girls and they're 10 and 8 now. And 2 years ago, my oldest, Sierra, was 8, wanted really bad to go to summer camp. Really bad. Apparently there's these shows on TV and they all look like a lot of fun. So we searched for a long time, months and months, looking for a great summer camp. We found a Christian summer camp in San Diego, but unfortunately for me, she was too young. And so the only way she can go is if I signed up to be a camp counselor. How hard can that be? So she was very excited. I was not. So nonetheless, it's a sacrifice you make, right? So I saved for months. It was expensive. I saved for 6-8 months. I made payments on this. And so the day finally came, July 4th. And so we went on this holiday week. It was a whole week long. So I went for training, and I'm thinking, oh, well, this can't be that. I got two kids. How can it be any different? Yeah. No, they handed me 8 kids, 8 girls, and a room key. And they were all between 8 and 12 years old. And my life flashed before my eyes several times that week, promise you. And it wasn't even the time where we had to rock climb and rappel off the back. No, that wasn't it. It was all the other times when they had to be asleep, but they weren't, or they had to get up but didn't want to, or they were crying because they were homesick. Some were from foster care. Some were pastor's kids like mine. Some were kids that their parents had just sent them there because it was a Christian camp and it must be good, so send them to the Christians. I was not Christian in my quiet times. So for a whole week, it was really hard. A whole week. Oh my gosh, I love my daughter. Oh my gosh, a whole week. And so at the end of this week, I was so excited that we were coming home the next day. And so the camp people said, hey, listen, we're giving you some bread and some juice. We want you to teach communion to the kids tonight. And I'm thinking, well, I've got Lucy Fur in my room. How is that even going to happen? Yeah. So I compose myself. I get to the night and I think, oh God, I've got 12 hours left. So I take them out. I say, listen, everybody take your flashlights. We go outside to this little campground area. I mean, we're in a camp, but it's bleachers or whatever it was. And so I said, if you have a Bible, bring your Bible. And I'm like, okay, we're going to have a God moment here. We haven't had it all week, so we're going to find a God moment. I got bread and I got juice. If I leave it out long enough, it'll ferment. We'll all be happy. So that was my side note. Okay, and so we're all sitting around, and so I start out, you know, I'm thinking this is going to be okay. I'm going to survive. They're quiet. They're waiting for what's going to happen with this bread and juice. We're really hungry. We have camp food. So I said, how many know what communion is? And so little Katie, raises her hand and goes, that's something old people do. Yes, Katie, that is something old people do. So welcome of age. You are going to be old tonight. So then they all kind of giggled, and I don't know if you know, but when you have eight little kids between 8 and 12 and one giggles, they all giggle. No apparent reason. They just do because they can. And so my God moment, I'm feeling very unqualified. And so okay. So yes, it's something old people. Okay, let's get a little more basic. How many believe that God can heal? And so one little girl says, well, I think we can pray, but I don't think it always works. Oh. And I realized, again, I was very unqualified. And not only that, but I can talk to adults, and they're very polite. But when you ask these questions of kids, they don't hold anything back. And they want to know all the answers. And what do you mean you don't have the answer? You're the adult. And what do you mean you don't know why God doesn't heal every time? And so let's rein it back in. So they're all giggling again. Oh my God, I'm so unqualified for this. And so I said, okay, well, let's get a little more basic. So I said, Katie, I said, so when do you think that you met Jesus? And she had this weird look. And okay, so do you have Jesus in your heart? Because that's a little weird too. So I said, okay, was there ever a point where Jesus was more than a story? And so right at the moment where I'm like, okay, they got it. It's a God moment. Destiny, another little girl who had given me grief all week long, in the middle of my God moment, turns around and goes, wow, look how big the moon is. And all the girls turned around and went, wow, look how big the... And so I felt totally unqualified. And so they giggled. They thought it was really funny. They laughed and said, okay, you know, we got to finish up here. We all want to go to bed. And so I reined them back in. And so I got communion passed out, and they quickly ate their bread and laughed at their juice. I don't know why it was funny, but they laughed at their juice. And so I thought, oh man, I got to figure out a way to be qualified to be here tonight. I don't think they got anything. And so I said, okay, so Destiny, the moon that you just talked about, I go, do you realize that the creator of the universe... And she kind of giggled. I went, oh, no. Like it starts to unravel, you know? Oh, no. Here it goes. And I go, do you realize that he put the moon in the sky right where it was tonight, as bright as it could be, so that you would turn around and go, wow? And they all giggled. I went, oh, no. Okay, so let's write down some prayer requests. So they all wrote down their prayer requests. Katie prayed for all of her pets, her lizard and her iguana and all these other random things that she had. And Destiny prayed for her sister that she didn't like, and I prayed that God would come back any minute now because I was unqualified. And so we all read our prayer requests out loud, and I said, okay, well, let's wrap this up. Let's get in a circle. So I made them all hold hands. They finally stopped giggling, and I thought, okay, this will be our God moment. I feel it coming. So I said, okay, so we're all going to take a prayer request. We're going to pray, and then we can go back to our cabin. So they all cheer, yay! Like, okay, that wasn't really the response, but yay, okay. So we start praying. I get about three or four girls in. And on the fourth girl, all of a sudden, in the middle of this very serious moment, was the loudest fart I have ever heard in my life. And I stood there with my eyes closed as all eight little girls are giggling, thinking, there's got to be a boy in here somewhere. But there wasn't. They were all girls, and they thought it was hilarious. And so I quickly said, amen. God creates gas. Let's go back. So we ended our evening, and I felt very unqualified for this simple little kid summer camp. And I thought it would be so easy to just share who Jesus was and my relationship. They didn't care about that. They wanted to jump off rocks and, you know, sneak around and find bugs and all this other stuff. But then on my way home, I realized I was qualified. Not because I made it through the week, although that I know gave me another crown and mansion in heaven. Not that I, whatever. Okay, so, but I realized that it was what I showed him. And you know, it was the small moments that I overlooked. It was the God moments that I hadn't really thought about, that I just thought was not really worth even talking about. It was the moments where somebody would fall and skin their knee and I'd go, okay, everybody come over. We got to pray for Katie. She hurt herself. Or Lucy's having a hard time. She wants to go home and it's only day two and we all want to go with her and we can't. Come on, we all got to pray. And so by the second or third time, they're joining in. Hey, Destiny just fell. And so we'd all run over and we'd pray. And they'd giggle and they'd laugh. But you know, I thought when I left, I'll never see these kids again. I'll never see Helena, who was so sunburned on the first day there. She got sun poisoning. That was a lot of fun. Or Lucy, who fell and hurt her knee and limped the whole way there and the whole way back every time we had to go to camp. But you know, it was what was left with them. And the things that I felt I was unqualified for, I probably was, and I definitely still am. I want God to know that so that I never have to do that again. But you know, it's the little things that we overlook. It's the things that we don't take notice of, and then later on we realize that we left something with them. And I left all of my confusion, I'm sure. I left everything that I thought maybe I did good. It went out the window. I came home slightly deflated until I realized who I was in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, I started studying a little bit more about what it takes to be qualified. And you know, the more I studied, maybe you've heard it, but back in Jesus's time, by the time you were 4 or 5 years old, both a male and a female, at the time they believed that both did it, they would go to school and had to learn the first 5 books of the Bible. How many can quote past Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Exactly. And the earth was without form and void. I only know it because I had to look it up. They had to learn the first 5 books of the Bible by the time they're 4 or 5 years old. And then if they want to go further, by the time they're 12, they have to learn all of the Old Testament, all of the stuff. And then what they would do is they would go to a rabbi or a teacher that they admired, that they liked. And they would go to him and they'd say, listen, rabbi, can I be your follower? Will you be my teacher? And that rabbi in turn would test them. I don't know, do you know all of the Old Testament? I mean, you're 12, you should know this stuff. And so he would test them. And if they failed, they'd become a fisherman, they'd work in the marketplace, they would sell goods. They'd do something other than what they wanted to be qualified for. And they were deemed now unqualified, and so you go find a job in the marketplace. You could only follow the rabbi if you were qualified. How many would be qualified for such a thing? Yeah, I won't ask. How many have more than one Bible at home? That tells you a lot. I have more than one Bible at home. I don't know that I've cracked 5 of them. I can tell you one of them, that's my favorite. But we all have so many Bibles at home. And I could guarantee you there's probably nobody in here among us that would be qualified to follow a rabbi. So Jesus comes on the scene and all of a sudden people are calling him teacher and rabbi. Teacher, rabbi. And what does he do? He goes to people, he goes to men and he says, come and follow me. And what does everybody do? They get all upset. What are you doing? How can you do that? They were mad because he did it all backwards. He didn't do it the way the world told him he should do it. He went to the unqualified and he said, hey, you're unqualified, you're perfect, come follow me. And they went, what? They don't even know the Torah. They don't even know Genesis 1. How can you do all this? No, 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 come follow me, you're perfect. You're so unqualified, come follow me, I'll be your teacher, I'll be your rabbi, I'll show you everything I know, and in turn, I'm going to make you a rabbi so you can teach others and you can make them disciples and they'll follow you like you followed me. And so everybody around Jesus went, no, you can't do that. Those are fishermen. Those are merchants. Those are tax collectors. They're around sinners and the unqualified. And Jesus went, it's perfect. Did you ever hear of Moses or Gideon or Abraham or David? A liar, a thief, a murderer, an adulteress. Great, follow me. And he found his people. And the people around him went, no, you're unqualified. And so he went into the synagogue and he quoted scripture. Most of them probably didn't even understand. And he explained it to them. And they went, whoa. We don't know you. Who's your rabbi? And he went, when you see me, you see the Father. Amen. What? Oh my gosh, it's blasphemy. You have to be unqualified. Where's your rabbi? Where's your teacher? No, I am the teacher. I'm the rabbi. Come and follow me. And they went, but you, the rabbi, aren't supposed to go to the people. The people come to you. You're doing this all backwards. But that's not the way Jesus decided to do it. And so he came to us. I am so unqualified for so many things. I work at the school and I tease all the time that I am that no child left behind. I hated school. Don't tell the kids at the school that. I hated school. I couldn't do it. I couldn't understand it. I always went to summer school. I always flunked. I always got D's and I was happy if I got a C. Don't tell my mom, but I skip school every now and then. I'm not looking at her. But you know, when God comes to us, he says, just follow me. He went to fishermen in the middle of fishing and said, leave it all behind and follow me. And so they left it there. They left it there. It says that he went to a group of men and said, follow me. And they jumped out of the boat and they ran off with them. They left the father and the rest of the workers in the boat and walked off. But you know, a lot of times God says to follow him. And what do? We lug around stuff with us. Yeah. Okay, hold on. I got to carry all this with me. And God goes, no. You're perfect the way you are. Just come and follow me. Okay, but I got to take this. No. Just follow me. You're perfect. You're so unqualified. That's exactly what I need. And you know, when you start carrying things with you, you carry baggage with you. And you know, if you look up the word baggage, it comes from the word luggage, which means to lug something around. And you know, you always hear about people that, oh, that person has so much baggage in that relationship. You ever heard that? They're carrying so much with them. But you know, God doesn't want us to be like that. He just wants us to follow him with who we are. Everything that we are right here. Not all the other stuff around us, but it's hard because the other stuff around us becomes like a part of us. And you start to protect it. Oh, this is part of my personality. This is who I am. Well, no, I don't have to be happy all the time. That's just who I am. No, I don't have to do it like that. This is who I am. And so your quirks, we call them quirks. You guys have quirks? Right? We have quirks. Yeah, Dad does. Everybody turn around and say hi, Pastor Bob. Yeah. You know, when I was real little, I don't remember, maybe about 6 or 7. I'm sure my mom will fill me in later on what age I was. But I remembered I stuttered a lot. And it was really hard because I had so much I wanted to say and my mouth couldn't keep up with me. That's changed. I have a husband who talks for me. No, he's out in youth. He'll be okay. But I stuttered a lot. And I also said my R's as W's. You ever heard kids have a lisp or they say something funny? And I remember being really little and I was over at a babysitter's house and she was on the phone. And I was playing off to the side, and I remember overhearing her go, "Oh yeah, Susanny," it's my nickname. I was really cute as a kid, by the way. "Susanny, it's so cute. She says all her R's as W's. She says wed, and she says wound." And so she kind of laughed and giggled. But how many know it's all funny until it's your funny? And you know, we have that lie that we've all been told, sticks and stones will break your bones. Words will never hurt you. Yeah, that's one of the biggest lies. And so what I did as a kid is I picked up something that was like luggage. So I carried it around with me. So I became really quiet as a kid. I didn't talk a lot. I talked, but not a lot. I was more I like to listen more, sit in the background more. I don't have a lot to say. If I do, I'll stutter. Somebody's going to laugh. And then as I got older, I think I forgot why I was like that. And so it just became part of my personality. I was quieter. I didn't talk as much. And it eventually went away. I don't say wed anymore or wound. If I do, you can laugh because I'll probably laugh too. I get it. So I carried this luggage with me and it became part of my personality. She's just quiet. She's shy. And then as I got a little bit older, I had a best friend and I remember going to her house. We used to ride our bikes over to each other's home and, you know, it was the 80s and the 80s were cool, of course. And you weren't cool unless you had the white slouch socks wrinkled just right around your Guess jeans that zipped up the side. Some of you don't realize that, but okay. I feel you. So I remember showing up at her house, and we were best friends, you know, best friends forever. So I showed up at her house and sat down. I was waiting to go outside to play, and she's fixing her slouch socks. You know, they got to be wrinkled perfectly. And I remember she just very casually said, "I can't play today." I went, "What? Okay, well, when can you play?" "No, I can't play anymore." "Oh, well, how come? Are you going somewhere? What are you doing?" "Well, you're not cool enough." And I remember thinking, "Ooh, wow, okay." So I very sadly rode my bike home. And just like that, best friends forever became very short. And they got a little bit shorter. And so I picked up a little more baggage, and that just became part of my personality. I don't dress like everybody else. I don't talk like everybody else. I'm just different. I'm my own person. I do things my way. It's who I am. And then, we've all been here. I had those moments, like you probably all have, where you say it to yourself, "Never going to be like them. I can never look like that. I'll never have a job like that. I'm never going to marry somebody good like that. I can't have a family like that. I'm never going to be able to travel like that or live like that, look like that, be like that." And so once again, it became part of my quirky personality. She's just different. She does it her own way. She's her own person. So I carried a little bit more and it became a part of me. And then maybe you're somebody who, it was somebody that hurt you that was close to you. Maybe you were in a marriage and they had an affair. Maybe they were abusive, verbally, physically, emotionally. They all count. Maybe a friend that you thought really loved you, did something to you, said something to you, acted different, did it wrong. Whatever it was, somebody else did something to you. And so what'd you do? You picked up a little more baggage. You shut things off a little bit more and you carry things around with you. But it's okay. It's part of your testimony. This is part of who I am. This is my testimony. And so then, I don't know about you, but you know, if you find your identity in anything other than Christ, it doesn't work. This becomes my identity. This is who I am now. How do I follow Christ around with all of my stuff? And he says, "Come follow me. You're unqualified. You're perfect." And I go, "Okay, hold on. Hold on. No, no, no. Leave it all behind." I can't. This is part of me. This is who I am. And then maybe you, a lot of times people with baggage like to shuffle things off on other people. You know, we're all trying to live life. We're all trying to do the right thing and be the right way. And sometimes our baggage gets shoved off on other people. Not meaning to, but you've hurt people. I've hurt people. And we don't mean to hurt people. It's just our baggage runs into each other. You bump things around. And maybe you had a bad morning and your temper was short with your kids. Left a little baggage with them. Gave them a little baggage. Maybe you had a useless argument with your spouse or your mom. Or maybe your mom had one with you, whatever. But you try to leave your baggage on somebody else and it doesn't work. And all you do is you pick up just a little bit more baggage. But it's okay. It's all right. Hold on. I got to maneuver back. It's okay. I got it all taken care of. And just when you think you have it all taken care of, oh, God, why can't my life be as easy as everybody else? They have it all together, and I don't understand all of this. Why do you make it so hard on my life? God, why do you make my life so difficult? If you just take some things away from me, it'd be so much easier. But no, trial after trial. You know, every sermon that talks about a trial, you're up front. Amen, that's me. Every sermon that talks about a valley or a desert, you're in the front row crying and weeping. That's me. And then you pack up all your baggage and you walk back down the aisle. And you walk out the door. Yes, I felt God. And then you go home and you set all your baggage on the counter. Take a nap. You pick up all your baggage. You take a phone call. Hold on, I got to get my phone out of my pocket. But you don't leave it behind. It's part of you. It's who you are. And then we've got this little tiny bag over here. Oh, hold on. It's a cute little bag. Not many people see it. That's my secret bag. But it's okay. It's okay. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's tiny. It's just a little thing. It's no big deal. No big deal. I mean, look at all this other stuff I got. This is no big deal. Look at all this other stuff I've been through. This is no big deal. Nobody knows. But God and me. And so more and more I feel unqualified. And then maybe one day you show up to a connect group. You get a text from a friend, a stranger, whatever it is. Maybe you had a bad morning. You know, you went off on the bagger at the grocery store that put your eggs under a gallon of milk. I ain't ever done that. But maybe you show up to church or a connect group and you hear that verse, I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. This is not the abundant life. And so you go, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, God came for me. And then you hear, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you go, oh, God, I don't know. How do I get rest? Do you know the stuff I've been through? Have you seen what others have done? Do you see my job, my finances, my health? Do you see everything I've been through? What about all of that stuff? And I just have to walk away from it? You ever wanted to be like those girls at the camp who just demanded an answer? But why? But why if I pray? Why doesn't God heal? But why? Why? You know, as adults, we learn to keep quiet. Don't doubt. Don't question. But kids are real. Why? Why doesn't he? What do you mean? How do I feel God? What do you mean he's in my heart? What do you mean when I met him? I mean, we have all the Christian lingo down to others, right? We know it all. We can say it all, but then we got to pack up and we gotta hold on. I'll meet you after church. Ooh, I'll meet you after church. No, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when we do this, and we unload it. And you know the best part is that we can actually leave it there. You don't have to have somebody else around you to leave it somewhere. You don't have to unload all your stuff on somebody else. You don't have to give your baggage to somebody else. You don't have to go through all the details. You just got to go to God. You know, he's your rabbi. He's your teacher. He's the one you go to. There is no middleman. You don't have to go to the pastor and then have this big counseling session and we pray over you and we make it all whole and right. You can. It's a lot of time. But you can come to the altar. You can do it during worship. You know, worship isn't just to, you know, get the 20 minutes where people linger in through the back door. I won't look at anybody. I know people walked in 20 minutes late. But you know, that it's not just so that we can buy time until you can get into where the announcements and the word is. That's not what it's for. It's for you to go to God and go, God, here's my baggage this week. And you know, if you don't make it on a Sunday or a connect group this week, turn some worship music on at home. Heaven forbid, open your Bible and start reading. And you know, here's the thing. Don't start in Leviticus. Bad place to start. Not Chronicles. I don't even know how to say all their names. Not Numbers. Start with the words of Jesus. Come to me, all who you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How much better would it be to walk out of here and know that you can leave it all behind and you are unqualified? And the best part is that God's called you and he said, listen, you are totally unqualified. That's perfect. I'm going to make you into a teacher and a rabbi and you're going to teach others. I'm going to have you show others my ways, but follow me for a little while. Be like me. Who are you in everything else? In the grand scheme of things, you're one single person that God knows, that God created prior to the foundations of the universe. He knew you. The Bible says God knew you before you were ever even conceived. He made you. He gave you a plan and a purpose. And he said, here's the Great Commission. Now I'm going to give you your special way to do it. And you're going to be so unqualified, you'll be qualified. You'll be so imperfect, it'll make you perfect. You're going to be so opposite of what the world says, you're going to be exactly who I need. And you know, one day, somebody else will follow you. And you'll go, let me show you who my Jesus is. Let me tell you who I learned from. Let me tell you what you can do with all that stuff you're carrying around. Makes it really hard to live life when you're carrying all this stuff. You know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, my girls and I were on the way to school and kind of running late. And I was supposed to be there early, but I wasn't. And oh my gosh, I got to hurry. And so I'm driving down Girard and I see this woman. I don't know if she's here today, but I see this woman walking down the street with her two kids and a gas can. So my kids are, you know, arguing in the back because they're perfect, you know. They do what kids do. And so we're driving down the street, and I see this woman, and I think, you know, you have that passing thought of, oh, I should probably turn around. And then you're like, oh, I didn't hear that. La, 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 I didn't hear that. I'm late. I didn't get very far. So I pulled over, and the girls are like, what are you doing? We got to be at school. It's okay. I work there. You'll be all right. So I hand Sierra my phone. I said, text Miss Beasley. Tell her I'm going to be a little bit late. And so I turn around and I pull up next to her. Hey, do you need a ride? Gosh, I've got two kids and I think we can squeeze everybody in. So we all pile in the car and we go and we drop her kids off at school and then we drive her around to the gas station. She fills up her little tank and I drive her back around to her car. All the while I'm like, oh my gosh, this would have taken you forever to drive. I'm so glad I stopped. I feel for you. So I drop her off, and we had made small talk, and she had, I'm just asking her questions. Where do you work, and what do you do? And so she had told me she just got promoted at a store in town, but unfortunately that store is going to be closing early December, and gosh, it's going to be hard, and the holidays are coming up. And so, she thanks me, gets out of the car, and I'm thinking, I did my good deed for the day, And I tell my girls, listen, if it was us, we would be so excited if somebody pulled over and gave us a ride. You would be so excited you made it to school on time. Not really. But I said, if it was us, I would want somebody to do the same thing. And so here we go to school. I don't think much about it. And so I think it was yesterday or the day before, I was coming home from the mall, and Cheyenne's in the car with me, my youngest, and she had been playing with my wallet. And, as kids like to do, she's throwing my stuff around. My license is, she's laughing, and, she's looking at, what's this card? And, it's a credit card. Well, how much money you got on it? Well, I don't have any money on it. Well, you spend on it. Well, I could spend $10,000. $10,000! Oh, my gosh! So next thing I know, she's like, wow! And when she does that, the card flies through the air. And I went, oh. She's like, I'm sorry, Mom. It's okay. It's somewhere in the car. We know it's in here somewhere. So she's moving the seat back and forth. It's okay. When we get home, we'll look for it. So we get home. We pull up in the driveway. She climbs out. She's got a flashlight, looking everywhere. Where can it be? Doesn't find it. But she finds a phone. Mom, I found a phone. I go, phone? What do you mean a phone? It's not my phone. She pulls out this black phone. I go, I don't have a black phone. So we call my mom and dad. Do you guys miss a phone? No, we don't have a phone. I wonder if it's that lady. No, it can't be. But she's been the only one in my car. Eventually we find my card. I don't know if I'm excited about that or not, but we find it, stick it back in the wallet. So I drive up to the store about a half hour later, and I walk in the back, and I'm looking, I don't even know her name. I'm looking for this lady, and I walk all the way to the back, looking everywhere. I see her in the back in like a staff meeting or something. And I had pulled a church card before I left because I thought, how often, now I don't believe in coincidence, so how often do you run into the same person you have no idea who they are within 2 weeks? So I'm like, I'll take a church card. I'm usually not that person, but I did. So I walk in the back, and I interrupt their meeting, of course. Sorry about that. And I said, I gave you a ride a couple weeks ago, and I said, I think you left. And she goes, my phone. And so everybody around her is like, your phone. Apparently this is a big thing. So I'm like, your phone. And so I hand it to her, and she goes, I was going to go and buy a new phone. I was hoping you'd come back. I didn't know where to find you. So she's like, showing all her coworkers, look, she brought my phone, this lady. So I pull out the card, and I go, hey, listen. In the back of my mind, you got all these thoughts rushing. You think it's 30 minutes, but it's like 10 seconds of thoughts go through my head. And I'm like, I got to do this in front of all these people. I don't know these people. They're going to think I'm nuts, some freak. And I go, hey, I have a church card. I know you said you just moved into town, but gosh, if you're looking for a church, she goes, yeah, I'm looking for a church. I go, great. Here's the church card. I don't believe in coincidence. So maybe God wants you to come back to church. Oh, great. So she turns around again. Look, everybody, my phone. So I walk off, and I hear as I'm walking out the door, can you believe she found my phone? And I thought, I'm so unqualified. Which makes it so perfect. You are so unqualified. But as soon as you said yes to God, that was it. Amen. He even took you with all your baggage and all your stuff, all your personality quirks, all those things, all the walls that you built to make it just right, to make you look good, to make you act right, to help you fit in. He made it perfect. And he wants you to follow after him. So the next time somebody comes and says, hey, can you? Yes, I'm so unqualified. I'm perfect. Our church is ran off of volunteers. We have a handful of staff members that actually get paid here. I don't know if you know that. Our greeters, our ushers, our nursery workers, our kids' church workers, our youth leaders, the people that run the donut table and make the coffee, the worship team, the sound booth. We have so many people that volunteer so much time. And you know, it's not because they don't have anything to do. It's not. It's because they have an opportunity to step in and be a leader to somebody else. You know, Jesus said this in John. He said, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. You know, when you leave here today, I know a lot of you, you're probably like I am sometimes. Or, oh, that's a great sermon. I heard that before. Oh, yeah, I'm qualified. And you leave and you go away. But you know what I pray is that next time somebody comes, says, hey, man, I've been hurting. I lost my job. That your first thought isn't, oh, gosh, I'll pray for you. Your first thought is, let me tell you about my God. And you show them and you teach them by example. Because, you know, your words speak a whole lot less than your actions. Your actions say way more. You ever seen a car driving down the street, the honk if you know Jesus, and they're cutting people off and weaving in and out? There's a reason I don't have a church bumper sticker on my car. I heard that. But you know what? I pray that as you go this week, when you feel so unqualified, you go, yes, I must be perfect. God has me right where I am. And then the rest of you that maybe don't need that, you start to recognize your personality quirks. And maybe they made me who I am in a good way after I let it make me who I am in a good way. It is part of my testimony now. There's a whole lot to my testimony, but I'm not going to drag it around like baggage anymore. It's not worth it. It hurts other people. It only hurts me. It hurts my family. It makes you tired. It makes you weary. It makes you want to not do anything when you got stuff tied around you. So, you know, as you go this week, I just pray that God would help you see what you need to see, all those little things. Because we all have something that we need to work on. Nobody in here is perfect, which is why we're all unqualified. But someday, if not already, you're somebody else's teacher. And teach them what God has taught you. Be that example, be that person, be that one who is going to go out of your way and go the extra mile. Do a little bit more. Be remembered not for you, but for Christ in you. Amen? Amen. Would you stand? We're going to close in prayer. Lord, we come before you, and I just pray that all of us here today, Lord, that the things that you've brought to mind that we know we need to work on, we know we need to fix, we know we need to lay aside, we need to give back, we need to hand over, all these different phrases I could say, but Lord, you know what needs to happen. And Father, for those that are here that have in their own mind said, but I can never do that kind of stuff, Lord, I thank you that they are the perfect person to do it. Those that said, I can never talk like that, I thank you, they're going to be like a Moses, and they are going to talk like that. Those that said, I can never be like that, Lord, that they're going to be like a Paul. Father, you're going to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it to good. And I thank you for our congregation. I thank you for our people. I thank you that this week as we go out, Lord, I pray even today as wherever we're going from here that you would put people in our path that we go, oh, I know God did this. This is not a coincidence. This is you. And you alone. And Lord, I thank you for that verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Lord, I pray you would help us spread that to others around us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.